Okay, so Noah leaves us a wonderful example. First of all, his faith and his obedience, which proved he had faith, right? That's what James says, right? Faith is proved by our works. And so he did obey the Lord. And I love the fact that 2 Peter, and I believe Hebrews, mentions that he obeyed in the fear of the Lord. He believed what God had said. He believed God's warning in spite of all the unknowns. Now, when I was studying this, it's kind of alluded to in our study as well, but it talks about how Noah must have had many, many questions. So what I receive from that as I'm studying is, God, I need to leave my question marks with you. Don't let the question marks in my life and my future, and even the things that I don't understand at what you do, don't let them hinder me from taking you at your word and believing you. So in spite of the unknowns, in spite of the question marks, Noah believed God. Don't you imagine he thought, how? Many hows? Who, me? A boat? An ark? How big? Are you sure it'll hold all the animals? Two by two, pairs of every species? How will that ever work? And then there must have been the whys. Why, God, you created all things. Why will you destroy? Why will you spare me and my family? How long will it take to build this huge boat? What is rain? What is a flood? What is that going to look like? I believe you, God, but I have lots of questions. And yet there's no record in God's word of any questions, of anything that would hinder him from any obstacles. Noah started building, trusting the word of God. Again, in trusting all the unknowns. I love Cheryl's trust and entrust. It's the story of my life. And it has been ever since she first taught that years ago. Trust and entrust. We never get away from that, do we? Because life has lots of unknowns. There's a lot of things that come in and that we wonder about, especially as I'm in the process now of that aging part of life where there's lots of changes. So I need to trust and entrust myself and my family, my friends, my future, all of those things. I have to trust God and entrust him and not let the questions bog me down or derail me in my faith. In holy fear, Hebrews 11:7 says in the NIV, in holy fear, Noah built the ark to save his family. He became heir of righteousness in keeping with faith. A lot of powerful truth in that. So Noah must have done just what I've described. He left the details, the unknown details, with God, because we know God gave him some details about the construction of the ark, and we're going to show you a picture in a moment. But if Noah stressed out or buckled under duress and distress, there's no indication in the scriptures of that. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He gave this simple definition of faith. Faith is refusal to panic. I like that. Because sometimes you and I panic and showing our lack of faith, right? So faith is refusal to panic in the face of a lot of question marks, in the face of a seemingly impossible task. Why did Noah trust God? Well, number one, the scripture tells us in, again, review 6:9, that Noah walked with God. God was a companion of Noah's, and apparently Noah was 100 years old, so I guess he'd had a little time to walk with God. I'm not that old yet, but I'm moving toward it. So Noah knew God was with him. He knew God was faithful to his word. He knew God was capable, all-powerful. He was the creator, and nothing would be too hard for him. So Noah trusted God's word. He trusted God's promises. He believed God's warning. God had spoken to Noah, and Noah believed what God had said, correct? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's verse 8 from chapter 6. So Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. I love that. What a powerful testimony of Abraham's obedience. Of Abraham. Yeah, we're not there yet. This is Noah that I'm talking about, Glenda. Remember, this is Noah, not Abraham. I've been reading ahead, right? That's probably not a good idea if you're getting ready to teach, right? So you get all the people all scrambled up. But God knew Noah, and Noah knew God. And Noah did everything just as God commanded. And it says that twice. It says it in chapter 6 and again in chapter 7. Would to God that he would repeat that twice about you and me? That we do everything just as God commands us. I want to give you a couple of pictures that Patty's going to share with you, because from chapter 7, kind of in its introductory remark, the ark was ready. Possibly 70 to 100 years had passed while Noah built the ark. It was complete, and I want to show you a couple of pictures that we took from the website that Answers in Genesis and their Kentucky replica drawing, I guess you'd call it an what is the word I'm looking for? A model. Thank you. I need all the help I can get. So is it up here on the screen? Okay, now is that a tiny boat? No, it's huge. In fact, even this picture, I looked at some slides the other night on, well, not slides, what do you call them? Pictures. I don't know. They're pictures, right? On the website of photos, images of other people who visited have copied, and they apparently sent them to the website and they put them up. There was 1,000 pictures. A lot of them were repeats, but amazing pictures. And if you get a chance to go. That's the site. Is anybody in this room go? The seniors went. Yes, the seniors went this summer, early spring. 2 or 3 of you. Well, if you're in a group tonight, tell them about it, okay? I'm just showing a couple of pictures. So here we have the second shot of Noah's boat. This is obviously what was, while it was still under construction. And then just to give us a picture of what the inside might have looked like, these scientists and these people, Answers in Genesis, did all the research. It says, the Bible says it was 3 levels. Can you see 3 levels? It's kind of hard to see. The bottom, and then there's the middle, and then there's the upper tier. Amazing. Okay, show the next one, please, Patty. And then, okay, that's another picture, and you can kind of see along the wall how they must have stored food and grain to feed the animals, because it wasn't just animals. They had to supply, right? The earth was going to be destroyed. There would be nothing left. They had to take everything they needed in the ark, and God told them what to bring. And so Noah did everything just as God said. And then we have another shot that kind of shows about a few animals that were in the cages. So there's cages. And if you go to the website, you can see all kinds of cages. And there's a little friend. So God took and brought the animals into the ark. Here's another picture. That's because it's a little distorted because it's so big. But this is obviously people that are visiting, and they're looking, the child is looking through the cage at 2 animals. Now, obviously, these animals are not full grown, and that's another comment we're going to make in a minute, in case I didn't get out to you through the microphone. So that's just one cage, and you can see behind there, if you can visualize that, there are cages all lined up in all these levels in the ark replica, and that wonderful. I think it took them 3 years to build it. I'm not sure how long the research went into it before they built it. So Now, during all the time of preparation of the ark, Noah preached to the people. God never judges without giving warning. Throughout the Bible, you'll discover that. You probably know that already. But just as a reminder, God warns before he sends destruction. But what happened? The people didn't believe. The people didn't listen. God told Noah that he was going to destroy the whole earth, all of life, all of man, all of the animals and the vegetation. 2 Peter 2:5 says, he, that is God, did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. Imagine, only eight people in all the world at that time were saved. But God saved them. Peter, in this passage, validated, if you need it, the Genesis account of the flood as Noah, as a real person. One day in heaven, you and I and all the believers will be able to interview Noah. What an awesome thought, right? Sometimes we think of these people as they're dead people, and well, then they are. I mean, all these centuries later, they're pretty dead. But no, not really. They're alive because they believed. They were redeemed by faith in God's word. So here we have Noah preaching to the people, but the people did not believe. Only Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives believed God. Then the day finally arrived, and God spoke to Noah again, and this time, what did he say? Come into the ark. Don't you love the studies and scriptures of God's invitation? Invitations? Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and see. Come and dine. Come behold a place where Jesus lay. Lots of beautiful invitations, but Noah's received his personal invitation. Come into the ark. Only Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives answered God's invitation. It's really sad, isn't it, that no one else believed and entered the ark. But time was up. God's plan to judge the earth through the flood and all mankind along with it arrived. So Noah and his family went into the ark, and they waited seven more days. God is in the waiting. We sang that tonight. Thank you again, Allison, for that timely word. God is in the waiting. But God is faithful. So 7 days later, it started to rain. And talk about a rain. The salvation offer had ended. God's invitation was withdrawn. It was too late for the people, for the wicked, the unbelieving, for the rebellious. God had given them nearly 100 years to repent and to listen to Noah's message of salvation, to believe and to be saved and enter the ark. I'm going to back up for a minute. In Genesis 7, we read that God gave Noah specific instructions for bringing the animals into the ark. And here we might see or discover what might have been one of Noah's biggest questions. How will I ever get all those animals, every pair, male and female, of the species of animals into the ark? God personally took care of that one, didn't he? I love it. There's lots of things in our lives that we worry about and maybe we have question marks about, and God's going to take care of it. He's going to handle it all by himself, if you will. He didn't need Noah's help to bring the animals into the ark, God took personal responsibility for that part of the assignment. Noah did his part, and God did his part. But imagine Noah and his family's amazement when, before the door was shut, the animals began to come, to stream in, because God directed his creation. The animals were creations of God, and God spoke to them, and they obeyed. Would to God that we as humans, his creation, would follow their example. So the pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. That's 7 verse 15. Noah didn't have to say, "Here, kitty, kitty, here, kitty, kitty," or "Here," any other kind of animal. That I hear that in my neighborhood all the time, don't you? My neighbor lets her cat, kind of cat, two cats, I think, kind of roam. But anyway, so I hear her calling them in the evening. But God called the animals, and they responded. Pairs of animals, all the pairs entered the ark. Now I'm going to show you a couple, well, not I'm going to show you, but Patty's going to show you a couple more pictures from the replica of the ark. And the other scientists have answered, and I'm going to give you that in a minute, a few questions about the animals and how they would fit into the ark. So we're going to, we looked at the picture of the cages and the small dinosaur, but this is another picture of the perhaps the living arrangements, the living quarters for, and look how they designed this. It's very compact and very, it's necessary. Everything they needed seemed to be right here in this one room. And so you see some mannequins and their living quarters and their arrangements. So God made it possible for the animals and man to have all that they need stored there and to keep the small animals. Do we have another picture? Was that it? I think that was it, right? Okay, thank you, Patty. So, Patty, give Patty a applause. She worked so hard to get all that up there. I could have never done it in a million years. And I think pictures do help, don't they? They help you visualize. And so I thought that might be beneficial for you. It was beneficial for me when I looked at them. So let me give you a few scientific answers that through the study of Genesis, answers in Genesis, as well as other scientific discoveries or study. Number one, the animals were likely young, maybe not even full grown. Even the young dinosaurs and the larger animals were taken into the ark, at least a species of each kind. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So that's what God's word says, and we believe it, right? Number two, also keep in mind that all current species did not have to be taken. The word kind in the scripture, such as a pair of wolves, having within their DNA all future dogs. So it didn't have to have all species because they could reproduce just like animals reproduce today, and you get a little variation. So only those with the proper DNA were taken aboard. Plus, the ark's dimensions were such that there was as much space as at least 169 railroad cars, more than enough room for all the kinds of animals as well as supplies. It's also possible that God caused the animals, or he put them in a supernatural hibernation for the duration of the time they were in the ark. Then this powerful statement in chapter 7, verse 16, the end of the verse, God shut the door. Very dramatic, very powerful, because God was the one who closed the door. The opportunity to be saved was past. Yet, today, salvation continues to be offered. So through the generations of that time, from that time till now, there is still time to be saved. God extends his invitation to accept his only provision for salvation and deliverance from judgment to come for sin through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we know that, but not everyone knows that. Not everyone pays attention to God's warning. The invitation by grace extends to all tonight. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. And the ark is a picture of Jesus. So God offers to us and to those who are alive today the deliverance and salvation through anyone who will believe. But the time is coming in the future that God's offer through Jesus Christ and salvation through his sacrifice on the cross, it will also be removed and the door of salvation will be shut once again. Let me share with you the 3 points of my outline now. That's a lot of introduction, but some of these are not that long. Number one is an unimaginable event, right? We can't wrap our minds around it. The worldwide flood. Genesis records this unimaginable event, and verse 5 in the chapter 6 says, because the world had become corrupt in God's sight, and he saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become, those he moved on the land and they perished. Unimaginable. Everything that had breath, God's breath of life in their nostrils died. That's 7 verse 22. Unimaginable, but true. Because 7:23 and 24 says, only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Let me give you another couple scriptures from link this these unimaginable thoughts with Psalm 104, 6 through 10 from the New Living. You, speaking of God, clothe the earth with floods of water, water that covered even the mountains. At your command, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas so that they would never again cover the earth. You make springs pour water into the ravines so that streams gush down from the mountains. And in the words of Korah, the psalmist from Psalm 46, 1 through 3, the NIV says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging. Earth quaked unimaginably in the day of the flood. Research shows that volcanoes erupted like never before, all a part of this cataclysmic event. I want to pause here and say to you tonight, let the words of the psalmist in verses 5 through 7 minister hope and encouragement to you if you are in a storm currently. Can't be as bad as the worldwide flood. But here is the truth. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her. You could put your name in there. God will help you, whatever your name is, at the break of day. The Lord Almighty is with us. He's with you. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Can't you imagine that Noah and his family were in the ark and they were praying and trusting God during the duration of this unimaginable event? But surely the presence of God was with Noah and his family in the ark, even as his presence is with you when you are in a storm. God speaks peace to those who walk with him. So that's the unimaginable event, but it's also unbelievable. What happened in that day? They didn't believe. They didn't believe it, did they? So that was then. What about now? Ah, people still don't believe, do they? The majority of people do not believe in the biblical record of the worldwide flood. God's given a warning, and he gave the warning, but God also did what he said he would do. God keeps his promises, even the hard-to-receive ones, the ones who disturb us to a degree, maybe to a great degree, but he also keeps the promises that we love, that we cling to, that we embrace. God keeps all his promises. Skeptics and unbelievers today choose to believe the atheist theories and the skeptics' words. They don't believe or they ignore the evidence from creation scientists who have also studied and researched the event thoroughly and wisely. They're learned men and women, which is the third part of my outline. Unimaginable, unbelievable, but it is believable. Why? Because God recorded it in his word, as well as some scientific evidence that we now have that support the scripture. So let me say tonight that I believe the Bible is the authoritative, inerrant word of God, and I hope you do too. But if you don't, let me give you some evidence that helps our unbelief. But first I want to say that God is all-wise, and he knew that his design for the ark would keep Noah and his family and the animals safe during the flood and until the water abated from the earth. And God is all powerful. He knew what he was going to do, but he also knew how to save. Which reminds me in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. He knows how to take care of both sides, right? God designed the ark to float and to withstand this cataclysmic event. And he knew that Noah could build it. He enabled Noah to do this with his son's help, most likely. He did it exactly as God instructed, and it floated, and it survived. And God kept them safe in the ark. God knows how to keep his own in any catastrophe. Be encouraged by that. So now let me show you a few scientific evidences of a worldwide flood that my son-in-law compiled, who is kind of one of his studies. And in fact, he taught science here before they moved away, and he taught creation science. Very knowledgeable. So he compiled some simple things for me to share with you tonight, and I want to give those to you, if you will bear with me here. And I'm just going to read through them. And by the way, I sent them to Denise in an email, and she has compiled them, and I think they're on one page back in front, and I think your group leaders might have a copy if you're interested in Dan Hayes' studies here. So, number one, number one here, this is interesting. I skipped page 4 somewhere. But okay, here, this is good for time. God knew it. So this is more important anyway than what I would have to say. So was the flood local or universal? The high hills under the whole heaven were covered, the scripture says. This can only be true if the flood was universal, meaning it covered the whole earth. Second, where did all the water go? As noted earlier, the continents evidently rose to the higher density seafloors as they were sinking. The water flowed off the continents and into the ocean basins. God sent a wind to help dry the bare land. Some evidence of the flood. Worldwide sedimentary strata, S-T-R-A-T-A. The earth is about three-fourths covered in sedimentary rock. This rock is made up of layers of sediment laid down by water. These layers can be found undisturbed, covering many areas, many thousands of square miles. This means the layers were laid down by a single water event on a near continental magnitude. The only possible explanation that makes any sense is that a continental-sized or larger flood put them there. The Grand Canyon, which most of us are familiar with. Secular geologists have claimed for years that the Grand Canyon was formed by the Colorado River millions of years ago. The truth is that the small river at the bottom of the canyon simply is not capable of moving that kind of sediment. Even secular scientists have been recently coming to this conclusion. Besides, what is often left out of their stories is the fact that the river would have had to run uphill to start carving out the canyon. That, of course, is impossible. It had to have taken an unimaginable size of amount of water flowing at a never-seen-before rate of speed to carve the canyon. This perfectly fits with the floodwaters running off the continents at the end of the flood, or possibly, he says, at ice age melt, with ice age melt water after the flood. The Grand Canyon likely formed at the end of the flood, The Grand Canyon likely formed in the days to months of time. Does that sound too incredible to believe? Listen, in the 1980s, after the main Mount St. Helens volcanic eruption, there was a subsequent eruption that melted large amounts of snow. That resulted in a mudslide that ripped down the mountain, carving 1/40th of a scale of Grand Canyon out of solid rock in a matter of hours. Immediately after the event, the canyon looked like it had been there for eons. The idea that a long time period is required to form large-scale features is simply wrong. Palustrate fossils. Many fossils are found protruding up through 1,000 layers or more, meaning they were rapidly buried in a massive flood event. Coal seams. Coal was formed by rapid, massive burial of immense amounts of plant material, which I didn't know, in water events. Coal beds are found on various continents, and many are the size of several U.S. states. It took huge, catastrophic flood events, or one large, to lay down these massive deposits. About fossils, fossil graveyards. Most mammal and dinosaur fossils are not found individually, but in massive fossil graveyards where the animals were piled together in a sediment, like water, in a massive log jam of bodies. As these graveyards are found worldwide, a worldwide explanation would seem to fit. Fossil clams, those are obviously fish or from the water. Fossil clams are found on virtually every high mountain range in the world. A worldwide flood easily explains this surprising situation being so far from the sea. Then there's submarine canyons, which I didn't know about. The continents have out in the continental shell, on their continental shelves, underwater, massive canyons that lead to the seafloor. Huge amounts of water have at one time ran off the shelves, down the continental slopes and deposited vast amounts of sediment into the seafloor. But this process is not observed today. The drainage of the floodwaters off the continents into the sea perfectly explains these features. Do you believe this? Let the fear of our awesome God, our all-powerful, all-enabling God, yet merciful, patient God, move you to faith and obedience. If you believe, then follow Noah's example by worshiping God. That's what Noah did at the end of that time. Approximately a year they were in the ark, and God told him when to go out. He had told him when to go in, but God waited until the waters abated, and he obeyed the Lord, and immediately he built an altar and worshiped the God who saved him and the God who kept his word. God cleansed the earth with a flood, and he was merciful and gracious to begin again with a godly man, with a man who feared the Lord, with his family. And God gave them grace and gave them the opportunity to reproduce, and God healed the earth in a sense, and it produced once again. So in conclusion, God keeps and kept his promise. God kept and was faithful to his warning to save and to destroy. God will fulfill all his promises, but remember also that God is gracious and patient, not willing that any should perish. God desires to have a personal relationship with each of us tonight, for those who will believe and walk with him and take his word seriously. I'm so glad you're in a Bible study. God is pleased that you're in a Bible study, that you're learning of him, that your desire is to walk with him, to take him at his word. God had spoken to Noah, and God continues to speak. He saves, he works, and he works on behalf of those who believe. God took care of Noah and his family. He took care of the species of animals, and he restored the earth. God has a plan. He's always had a plan. Trust God with your question marks. Leave the unknown, the unrevealed details in God's hands. Simply do your part, and God will be faithful to do his part. God is trustworthy. Trust him for his plan for your future, and entrust everything to him. The faithful God, the all-powerful God, the almighty God who loves you and has a plan for you, even though you might go through dangerous, life-threatening places. Trust and obey and worship him. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you that you give us the faith to believe. So Lord, help us tonight to let the study and the insights you've given to us from your word and from science, Lord, by the power of your spirit, Lord, through your truth. Lord, increase and strengthen our faith to believe every word that you have written, that you have told us about, that you've revealed. Help us to trust you with our question marks personally and individually. Lord, you are a big God, and you are able. You are more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think or even imagine. Lord, help us not to doubt. And then when we do doubt, Lord, help us to go to you and to ask you to reveal yourself and answer our questions by the grace and the power and through the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray.